Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast. It is episode 5, 22, not live stream. This is June, Julia's cat. She was sitting in here with me today, so I felt
can't
the need.
Can't tell them apart.
Well, they're both, one's a cow cat, they call it, and one is... You know, we like to say that she's also a cow cat, the other one, Barbara, but she's actually just a tuxedo cat, I believe they call it. More black than white. June's more white than black.
Got you.
So one's the clear favorite. Guess which one? You know what I'm saying? Come on. No. Well,
judging from my reputation around town, yes. There's a clear winner.
That's right. My name is Will Kuntz. This is Anna Hummel. This is the Homemade Broadcast, episode 522. Not live stream this week. We are not live on YouTube because we had a snafu in scheduling and we had to make some brief corrections. And I found out, which I didn't know. I did know, and I would have got a notification, but I didn't know. That it's your birthday on Wednesday, May 8th.
You probably wouldn't have gotten a notification. I've taken it off of the Facebook.
I have it. I believe I have it in my phone.
Oh.
Let me see. Let me check my calendar here. Adam Howe's birthday is also tomorrow. You share a birthday with my friend Adam Howe. And it shows up right here.
Oh, it says both?
Yep.
Oh. Very nice. Well, I'm thoroughly impressed. But yeah, my birthday is tomorrow or today, whenever it gets released, whenever this episode gets released.
Can I ask, you know, I know it's not really one of those things, at least traditionally, you don't ask a woman her age or her weight. I would like to ask you your age and your weight for your birthday.
Tomorrow, I'll be 37 years old, and I'm probably between 115 and 120 pounds.
Pounds, good. I'm glad it's not stone.
I drive 2.2, you get to kilos, but in America we do pounds. So that's right. If I were to take a guess, probably about 117 right now.
Okay,
I would guess. Yeah,
pretty good. And 36 years old.
37. Ooh, 37. Yeah, getting up there. But listen. I think it, women, especially, you make it worse when you cringe at your own age. When you don't want to answer the question or you say it's rude to ask, it's not rude to ask. It's something that you get asked by a doctor all the time, you know, so they can put you in a demographic. It's not rude to ask because maybe people think you look really young, but you... wisdom about you, and they're just like, how, you know, or maybe people are just curious, how old are you? You know, can I relate to you? Will you remember this thing from my past? Are we about the same age? You make it worse. I see women do it all the time. They don't answer the question. They'll be like, it's rude to ask, or I'm not going to tell you. It's just like, just lean into it and own it because you can't go back in time. So just own it. I don't know. It bothers me. I'm like, you're making it worse for me and everyone else when you do that. So,
yeah, I feel like it's not really a thing anymore. I think that was more the, I don't even know if Gen X does the don't ask a woman her age thing. It was more like the baby boomers, I guess, and the generations before.
I see millennials do it.
Oh, really?
I saw a woman on who was like a chiropractor on YouTube last week, and someone... she was like answering questions. She has like millions of followers. She's in Orlando. And someone asked her how old she was. She wouldn't answer.
And I would guess
she's probably about 40, 38.
Okay.
She wouldn't answer it. I was just like.
What? Did she look old?
No. She looks about 38 to 40, I would guess.
Okay. That might mean that she's 50, though. And she just looks really good for her age. And she doesn't want to.
They want me to be like, I'm 50 and I look really good for my age.
Because then you told people how old you are. You're an old bat, worthless to society.
Yeah, whatever, dude. I mean, she was married too. She was happy to answer that. She was like, I don't have kids. But then it was more personal for someone to ask her her age than if she was married, which to me is like a more personal thing, you would think. But whatever, that's her prerogative. But I see it a lot, especially as women approach 40. They don't, we don't like that. We don't like it. But, you know, you just go, it is what it is. I'm happy to be alive. That's what I was telling myself today on my 2-hour bike ride. I'm like, man, all these things are going wrong. But I'm like, look at you on your bike with your legs that work and your lungs that can breathe and your heart that pumps blood and gives your body oxygen. You're doing pretty good. Like, I was like, you're doing great.
That is the last, and I'm not saying it's going to happen to you, but that is the last gasp before going into a deep depression. That's like the, that's like the denial stage of life where you're just like, hey, it could be worse. At least I'm alive. And then you go, why am I alive? And then you just go into a deep spiral.
Or the exact opposite, where you're spiraling and that kind of puts everything right back into perspective.
Well, sometimes you need to spiral. Sometimes you need to spiral. Like, you should feel certain emotions sometimes. I think there's a lot of emphasis on being happy all the time, being happy, making your own happiness. But unfortunately, things and circumstances aren't always happy. It's just navigating the ebbs and flows of life and handling those emotions in a healthy way, as opposed to trying to change the emotion. You have to, you can't, I mean, like, there's certain things you can do. You can exercise, right? You can go outside and get some vitamin D. You can, you know, treat yourself to something. But those tend to be, you know, temporary fixes. There's healthy lifestyles that you can lead, but sometimes you're going to be in the dumps. And it's just navigating those dumps in a healthy way and using those sometimes downtrodden negative emotions and turning them into something positive. That's what's important.
That is a lesson lost on this generation and the ones younger. And I think that if they just took what you said and harnessed it, everyone would be in a much, much better spot. Because as soon as you get depressed or upset, and by depressed, I don't mean that in a chronic sense, just like you are feeling a depressed mood, you immediately think something is wrong with you instead of going, oh, this is a pretty normal reaction to the things I'm going through. And much like you said, using negative emotions are great for fuel, right? When I was feeling very anxious about my whole life this morning, I did about 2 hours of work. And by work, I mean like what I've been telling you I've been doing, reaching out, sending emails, making some calls. But at a certain point, I was getting like a little like the crackhead. What was the crackhead? Was it Tyrone?
Tyrone Bigsby from Chappelle's
Show. Yeah,
where
it's like, I was feeling a little like I didn't feel settled or good about anything. So I go, okay, I got a lot of energy. I got anxious energy. But anxious energy is energy. So I'm like, I'm going to go on a long bike ride right now. And I don't know how long I'm going to go, but I'm just going to go until I feel like I don't want to go anymore. And I went about 22 miles.
Wow.
So yeah, just hauling a big time through Clearwater all the way down. I almost hit Largo before I was like, oh yeah, I have to go back. So, but as soon as I came back, level-headed, calm, it pacified me. I was able to focus better. So I can't even imagine having that anxious feeling and then being like, let me take a pill.
Yeah.
Or like, let me watch some TV. I was like, I need to move my body because I have energy. I don't even want to call it anxious energy. I'll just be like, I have energy. Go expend some energy. So that's what I did. And I felt great when I came back. I don't know how people like when they're going through things, just like stay still and like mope around. I'm like, I'm just like, go, go, go. But I always feel better on the other end. So,
yeah, it's interesting because I think I brought this up a few times, actually. But a lot of the in my day job that I have now, which I'm tied to a desk and very set schedule. But there are so many mental health claims. For, you know, I kind of provide customer service for short-term disability claims, and 30% of them are mental health claims. And I think a lot of it is because we're not supposed to be living the life that we're living. We're not supposed to be tied to a desk. We're too new. Our evolution's too new. Now, maybe we'll get there where that's just what our DNA can handle now, is just being a brain in a jar type of scenario where you're not moving around. But we have these organic bodies that need to move and do things and get sunlight. And then we're just in an office or in our homes tied to these desks. And I think it really is doing a number to our psyche and our outlook and framing on life. It's just, we're not getting the work that we really need to move our body. We're getting a lot of work, but not the work that we need of plowing fields or, we're just too new of an animal.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. We talk about this all the time when I was studying evolutionary psychology. It's called the mismatch hypothesis, whereby essentially technology is advancing and evolving much quicker than we are. So like you said, where you have these caveman brains in this modern world, oh, you crave fat, sugary foods because those are the tastes that helped your ancestors, reach a reproductive age and survive and have children, et cetera, et cetera. Great, but not so great when there's a drive-through at every stop and you don't even have to get in your car to go anywhere. You know what I mean? So you still crave these fatty foods because those are the things that helped you survive in the environment in which we evolved. But not so helpful in a modern society. But, and I know you can attest to this personally, but I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen, especially little boys, they all have ADHD. Almost every single one of them. Oh my God, little Billy won't sit still for 8 hours in color. It's like, yeah, because he's a little boy. He's not supposed to, So now we're medicating our kids and wanting them to sit still and be like good worker bees, good employees, essentially be obedient, sit, listen, focus. This is why girls do much better than boys in school typically, because they have different interests where they like to color, play dolls, things like that, where they can kind of like focus and they don't want to just, pee in the trash can in the room, which is, I heard, I don't want to give away any details, but I heard someone's nephews, that's something that they do. They don't like to go to the bathroom, so they just pee in their own trash cans in the room. Hmm. So that's just kind of the function of, the feature of being a little boy. And it's sad because then you start medicating kids, a developing mind. And like you can attest to, that probably will mess you up later on in life. So
it's funny how, and there definitely is a difference between little boys and little girls. No matter what people say, there is. And that brought back something that reminded me of my childhood. I still like peeing outside. There is something very liberating about it, something very freeing about it.
I didn't pee outside. I said pee in the room and in their trash can.
Well, that's right. And it is a little different. But I was bringing that up because peeing outside, because I remember when I was a little kid, I took a pee outside and then I said, I kind of got a poo as well. And then I just went ahead and dropped a log on the side of the house and the neighbor found it. And she
did they find it or they saw you do it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was both. I don't know. But I remember my neighbor notified my mommy that I made a poo-poo on the side of the house. And it was like not a little one either. It was like a big old, like when I could actually poo solid, which has been many, many decades since I've had a solid bowel movement. But it was like a young person, like a 6-7-year-old boy's digestive tract. So I had, it was healthy, man. It just slid right out and just plopped there. Mm. And I think that even in my head, I was thinking, oh, I didn't know I was going to be this, mammoth here. Now I don't know what to do with this thing. So I kind of just, I left it.
Walked away.
I did it, the great continent of India style, and just kind of left it on the side of the road and just left. And then my neighbor found a big old honking doo-doo just on the side of the house. And I don't think I was punished for that, though. I think it was just like, what are you doing? And I was just like, I don't know. I had to dookie. So I did. And they were like, okay, well, just come inside. Okay, yeah, I will. I didn't do that again.
I think that that's a beautiful and disgusting difference between boys and girls. You know, I don't want to give anything away again, but maybe I was at someone's house a couple days ago and you just see like a screaming nude 9-year-old just run around the house. And it's like, dude, I don't even know you that well. And the parents are screaming. And then finally, when the kids go away, we were informed, yeah, they've been just like wild. Like they like to pee in the trash cans in the room, even though the bathroom is literally feet away from their door. So it's, you know, I never really did that as a little girl. Also, just aiming wise and, you know, anatomically, it's a little bit more challenging. But yeah, there's certainly a difference between boys and girls, and that's okay.
There was a kid we used to hang out because he had a cool tree house, but he was a little bit younger than us. We were probably like 10, 11, and this kid was like 5. But he was like maybe 6, but he had a cool tree house that his dad built for him. He was like a carpenter, his dad. And he used to just run outside nude all the time. And I remember thinking, this is kind of weird. I don't really like to see his little penis. Even as a 10, 11-year-old, like, this is kind of weird. But now, in retrospect, like, that's probably pretty normal. And he was wild. He would just run around with his little pee-pee all out and peeing, you know, all over the treehouse. And that's just what he did. Now, he also might have had what we call now autism, and we just didn't know it at that time because it really wasn't diagnosed back then. And perhaps it was diagnosed, you know, he would be diagnosed now. But certainly that wouldn't be normal behavior now. That's for sure.
No, autism is another thing that's very trendy these days. It seems like it can't be that in a single generation there's such a giant uptick in autism. So was it undiagnosed before, or is there something in the seed oils and the lead-laden water that's making every other child, especially boys, have autism? Thoughts?
Oh, I think there's a lot of different things. I know that there's a lot of speculation out there potentially about injections that people are given. I'm not solely convinced on that. I wouldn't discount it either. I think it's a lot of different things, though. It's not just one. And I think probably the stuff we're eating, I mean, it's poison. It's really the food supply is completely poison. I have an app now that I use called Yuka, Y-U-K-A, that I'll scan food items with. And it kind of tells you if it has poisonous chemicals in it. And, you know, what the, not only what the label says, the nutritional label, but what kind of, you know, artificial chemicals are in your food there. And it's weird too, because sometimes you'll find something that's like, oh, wow, this is good for you. And it's, you know, in a package, doesn't have the plastics in it or whatever. At least according to the app. Now, the app, I suppose, could be bought and paid for as well, but at least according to that. But then you'll scan the same brand and a different item, and it's like garbage for you. It's got like an 8 out of 100 score.
Let me say this, though. I don't think that food now is arguably so much worse than it was in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, that's, well, no, I don't know. I don't know,
There were a lot of TV dinner. I mean, I would say late Generation X, early millennials were raised kind of on the TV dinner. The people who are around 40 now, maybe a little bit older than that, were kind of raised with that kind of food, highly processed food, especially in the 90s when it was very trendy to be zero fat was really in. Remember, everything was like no fat, but it had like 1,000 carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. I would argue what the problem is now more so than before is that people are just over consuming.
Well, I think yes, I think that's partially true. But I also think that a lot of probably there was a time, and it seemed to happen right around the 90s and 2000s. When I think that potentially, and I'm being critical of capitalism here, but got a little too greedy. We let our enemies, quote unquote, make our food. We shipped not only the goods that we purchased in our homes to manufacturing in China, but we probably also shipped many of our food processing, antibiotics. Obviously, now that's a big thing. China makes the majority of our antibiotics, and we could be in a lot of trouble if we, you know, poke the bear with too much with them. We could not have medicine anymore.
Yeah.
So in our desire to ride that gravy train of the 90s and the milk and honey days of America, we really gave our, it's, I don't want to say enemies. I don't think there are enemies necessarily. I don't, and I'm not talking about the people who live in those countries, but that definitely the governments of those countries, they don't like the fact that they're second fiddle, and they would like to be the power center of the world as America once was. And when you're giving that branch of folk power to feed your quote unquote, I don't know, I got to find a better word. I don't want to say enemy, but
adversaries.
That still sounds bad. But yeah, if you can put some paint chips in some baby food, as has been well documented many times now, from food that's made in China that's given to babies, it was contaminated with lead. Well, whoops, you know, factory mistake. What can I say? And you go, okay, but it seems to happen at least more than once. I'm starting to get a little suspicious here. And instead of companies going, okay, we need to charge a little bit more for goods and services and just make them here at home in America, they go, oh, we got to cut a check to Ukraine to buy them bombs. So we're going to have to try to cut back on the baby food and just go ahead and hopefully they don't put lead in it. That's a big ask these days. But I think it's a lot to do with that, too, because people are really focused on, oh, and there's also the psychological manipulation, too, of saying, no, you can be a total fat loser and you rule. Yeah, it's a world that's a problem.
That works in concert with what we're talking about. But I mean, there are a lot of foods made, you know, on home soil that, listen, everyone is in the market to make money and have things that have a long shelf life, which are highly processed, have things that are highly palatable, which people want to eat, have things that, you can keep on the shelf for over a year. Anything that's probably good for you, you probably can't keep longer than a couple weeks. And there's many things in the cupboard just right behind me that are good until like January 2026. So that's, everybody's in the market for stuff like that, that is highly palatable, that people want to eat, that has a long shelf life. And to some degree, you can kind of be thankful because you're like, maybe this kind of helped with feeding large populations of people. You know what I mean? Not everyone could get, and I'm not just talking about America, but just globally, not everybody can get fresh produce all the time. So maybe, you know, injecting extra vitamin A in the rice or whatever that they're doing, or making things last a little bit longer in the cupboard. It was the difference between life and death for some people, you know? So I don't want to just paint it all as bad, but you could also make the argument now that even though we seem to, and by we, I mean like the developing world, seem to be in declining health, I would like to look at the silver lining here, which is even though everyone seems to be getting it wrong, we all know how to get it right because we're all learning more. Technology is getting better. There's more information out there now than there ever was before. Yet we still can't get it right, which is where you have to kind of fill in the gap. Like, how are we getting this wrong? Everybody knows that an apple is a better option than a donut, but we're all fat as hell. What's going on? So I think it's not, obviously the processed foods, not good. But I think the bigger problem is, and again, I've been reading a lot about this, you know me, it's energy balance. How much are you consuming or over consuming? And that's really what's detrimental to your health more than everything else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't disagree with that. And I think a lot of people are absolutely over consuming 100%, but I don't know. And that's probably like, it's not one thing. It's probably both of those things that we're eating too much of this poison that we're being fed to. I'm so curious now. I wish I would have done some research and found out where our food is made, you know, throughout the world. What's that?
Depends what food.
Well, let's see. I want to look at the heavy metals and baby food. Recalled over lead, CDC offered. When was this? Let me share this so you could see it as well. Share screen. Boom. And this was, I'm trying to find a date on this because I know it happens all the time. This is health health line. That doesn't have a date on it, but there's, well, yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say that I'd like to make a distinction between like actual poison and just bad ingredients. You know, like lead, if you have enough lead, it will kill you. If you have, you know, a lot of seed oils, it's not great for your health. And maybe 50 years down the road, you'll have some, you know, cardiac issues, but I wouldn't call canola oil poison. Like I would call lead poison, just to be clear. Because we were kind of talking about two different things, you know, one being bad ingredients, and the other one being like contaminating with listeria or lead or something.
Right.
So
what about, is there any effect or any studies on seed oil and IQ?
I don't know. That would be extremely difficult to study. Variables like that.
Here's one right here. The effects of pomegranate seed oil on mild cognitive impairment. Recent years has been growing interest supported by many experimental and clinical studies about the benefits of pomegranate in preventing various pathologic conditions, including brain neurodegeneration. The PSO contains high level of fatty acids. Oh, this sounds like it's saying that it's a good thing, the pomegranate seed oil.
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot of people use pomegranate seed oil. The one that really gets a bad rap are like soybean oil, vegetable oil, canola oil, rapeseed oil.
What about this one? Perilla seed oil enhances. I don't
know what that, is that a flower? I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. I don't know. It's interesting though. It's certainly, I don't know. Definitely lead though. We'll get your IQ down.
That's bad. Lead is bad. And unequivocally, lead is bad.
And I think making generations slow and stupid and fat is a great way to beat your enemies. If you're not able to beat them, you know, in a one-on-one fight right now, maybe you can make them slow, stupid, and fat. And beat them that way.
I would always like to remind my sister of this every time. As soon as I learned it, when I believe I was in college, that there is a correlation, not saying it's causation, between higher IQ and birth order. So the older siblings tend to be a lot smarter than their younger counterparts.
So that
is something that I've seen a lot of evidence for, just anecdotally.
Why is that? Do you know why?
Yes, because the materials that is essentially taken from the gluteofemoral area from the woman, the, you know, hips and butt area, that collect a lot of the supporting materials for the baby brain, a lot of omega-6 and 3 fatty acids. When she's a new mother, she's never had a baby, the baby gets a lot of those resources. Now, say she has a kid 2 years later, she's probably not going to have, let's just say she had the baby at 25. She's not going to have 25 years of building up all of those omega-3 and fatty acids for baby development availability there. She only has like 2 years to kind of make up that difference and then has another child. That child is likely, again, these are very like loose studies, by the way. The subsequent children are typically not as smart as the first child, just because there was just more bioavailable energy for making the baby brain, essentially.
Okay, that makes sense. You can't supplement that with, you know, the folic acid and the other things that pregnant women take?
Perhaps. I don't know how many women are on, like, neonatals when they're not pregnant. But I don't know how much you can make up for, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely not what, you know, you take it when you're pregnant, these neonatal vitamins.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, maybe you should be taking them when you're planning on getting pregnant, before you're actually, you know, become pregnant. I don't know enough about that. All I know is as soon as I found out that fact, I was like, you know, the science just in my sister's face, like, you're dumber than me. Dumb.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, I don't have any siblings, so I'm not able to torture them with that way. But that would be fun. That would be something.
It was cool.
You can get in touch with the show, by the way, 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com, thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com, Facebook, it's HMB Radio, and Twitter. You can reach me at home_made_man. And got a lot of subscribers this week. Anna, people are curious about what's going on. Some are here to enjoy the program and watch you and your new friend, which is me. They're coming here, they're coming here to my channel, even though we've been doing this for a long time, because they need their Hummel fix. And I don't blame them, you know. And there is a segment of the population there of your former employer that enjoy the program, and they come by and they like it, and that's good. And I welcome them with open arms. Thank you so much, and thank you for being here. There's also a contingent of morons that have been her not I wouldn't say harassing, but I sent you a comment that we got on one of the vids where a man accused me of being a homosexual. Why? I don't really know.
But, and why do you think that's a bad thing?
Well, it's not anymore, sir. That's what I want him to know if he is watching this, is you can't insult people that way, because it's not, number one, it's not even a good joke. I mean, I part of me wishes that I was, just because it seems like it gets you a lot of social credit these days. You can say a lot of things that you might not be able to say otherwise. So it's not really an insult, sir. But, you know, I just thought it was a very silly comment, and I've thought about it a lot, because it was so stupid that I don't comment back to the ones that are, you know, even moderately clever, because I don't want to give anybody the time of day. But that one, I just put good one. I didn't really know what like great stuff there. Let me see if I can find it. I even made a post about it because I liked it so much. This is not available right now. What
do you mean it?
What's grab that?
I have it. I think
I got it here.
Okay.
Let's here it is. There we go. And boom. So I think it's funny, number one, that people are coming to my channel, which I've ran for, I'm embarrassed to say how many years I've been making videos and podcasts. And I have, you know, my little contingent of crew, and you have yours. But some people have joined us recently here, and they don't know that it's my channel. Hey, this Will guy said his girlfriend, capital G quotes, was out of town. Is his girlfriend a dude? He definite is into guys. So not good, not great grammar there either. I've noticed a lot of good grammar.
That is not a proper noun, sir or ma'am.
It's
or
not.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, I think his name, if it's a man, it might be a woman, because this person's name appears to be Lynn, LYNN. And if you are a man, sir, you have a girl name. So I don't even want to hear it from you.
Right.
But if you are a lady, you just have bad grammar, and you're, you know, I think you might have had some lead in your baby food is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, that seems like a guy post.
There, it does. Yeah, it doesn't seem like a girl post. That's for sure. But girl name either way is, and if it is a woman insulting me, then it automatically gets, you know, put it to the bottom of the barrel. I don't know. I just thought that was funny.
Oh, and that's a lovely picture of you next to the flowers.
Yeah. Oh, that was me at the Met Gala.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I got best dressed.
Wow. Well, you look great.
Thank you. Yeah. I got best dressed there. Look at this guy. Who is this? Do you know who this is? Next to him in the
Mother
wedding dress,
Teresa from back from the grave. I don't know.
Looks like the flying nun, and then this looks like Johnny Depp in some sort of flower hijab next to me there. I don't know who that was. I didn't recognize anyone at the Met Gala.
Maybe queer from Palestine.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
yeah, maybe, yeah. That's what it is.
That's right. That's right. So that was exciting to be at that Met Gala last week or last night.
Yeah, it's good on you.
Didn't recognize many people, but saw a lot of dongs. I can tell you that much. After party was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. And did you see, I know that you messaged me, and I know that you're a big sports person. Obviously, I'm talking about Tom Brady's roast over the weekend. Netflix special, Tom Brady roast. Did you watch it?
I watched the highlights.
The highlights.
The highlights. Didn't watch the whole thing. I did see Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, and I think it was Kevin Hart do a shot. I think he summoned the two of them to the stage to do a shot because he felt very uncomfortable. It was a weird vibe, but I feel like that's just, I don't know sports at all, but Bill Belichick just doesn't feel, I don't feel like I've ever seen him look comfortable ever. So that's par for the course, I guess. But yeah, a lot of interesting roasters. I really enjoyed Nikki Glaser. She's kind of just like a staple. Got to have her there just talking smack. Kevin Hart was pretty funny. I saw Rob Gronkowski looking just dumb as hell, which, you know, again, that's his brand. Did you catch any of it or?
I don't have Netflix. So no, I didn't watch it at all. Unfortunately, I would have liked to have watched. I did watch some highlights, and I'm, you know, not that we're monetizing these videos or anything, but I think if you play like any sort of copyrighted material, you can't, you know, do anything with it.
Yeah,
I guess it doesn't matter. We could play some stuff, right?
Yeah, you don't want to get a copyright strike, obviously, if it's on YouTube. But I don't think if you play like a minute, I think you should be fine. But don't take my word for it.
I think you gotta like do something silly, like speed up the tape or something to make it not copyright.
I don't know the rules precisely, so
I don't really either. Well, I don't care. I'm not monetizing this anyways.
There's a lot of foul language, so
yeah, that's true. That is true. Maybe I could just go back and since we're not live or anything, YouTube, I don't really care about the language, but
okay.
I mean, I would only worry about it for the Radio St. Pete airing, which our friends on Radio St. Pete 96.7 FM, downtown St. Petersburg. If you are in a 3-block area of downtown St. Petersburg, you can hear this show on Sundays at 6:15 on 96.7 on your FM dial or anywhere in the world, RadioSaintPete.com. But I would encourage you, please head over to my podcast feed for the love of God, WillsYouTube.com and HMB Radio on iTunes. I think Anna might, I don't want to throw you under the bus or anything, might be doing some extra things, you know, on the channel here, which I have to have to authorize you to use the StreamYard and teach you how to use the this wonderful broadcast thing that I'm trying to mirror image here so you can get things on the screen and all that. I think that would be good.
And I was also thinking, I know that I don't want to throw anybody out there if it's not official yet, but isn't there a possibility we could use maybe a studio down your way?
That is true.
So check out, right? So
that is true.
I actually went on their website today just to kind of check out the space digitally. Mm-hmm. Looks very cool. So I think I'm going to try to make it down there in the next week and just kind of check it out for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. They would like that. Just let me know when you want to go. In fact, I'll give you the president's number. And even if I'm not able to join you, you can go check it out. Absolutely. So yeah, that'd be cool. And I think next week on the live stream, we're going to attempt to maybe even take some phone calls, which should be fun. I think I worked out some logistics there, so we could potentially be able to take some phone calls. And you can leave texts and voicemails, by the way, 813-693-2124. That's 813-693-2124. Text and voicemails. I do respond to those every once in a while when I get a few free moments. And I found a few stickers left. I got some clings here, so if you need a few stickers, I got you. Just send me an email, thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com. So yeah, I did see some highlights. What was your favorite? Who do you think did the best on the Tom Brady roast?
Of what I saw, yes. Again, I just saw the highlights. I would say Nikki Glaser, probably, of what I saw.
Terrible feet on Nikki Glaser.
She got bad feet?
She's got really bad feet. Let me see if I can find. She's got like Bunion City, bro.
No.
But I do like her. I do like her a lot. And I think she's hot too.
Yeah, she is a babe for sure.
Let's see if I can find the feet pics here.
She's not my favorite comedian, not even close, but she just really shines at the roast. Like you need her there for the roast.
She's like, you know, I wonder if she's kind of in a, I don't think so. I was going to say, do you think it's an Amy Schumer situation where she has a boyfriend that's right for her? I don't think so. I don't think that that's
the case. I don't know. I guess you could ask that of anybody that's there, but I think she probably writes her own material. I could be wrong. I know that Amy had a lot of material written for her by Anthony Jeselnik.
Yes.
Do you think he's ashamed that he dated her? Do you think he feels that way now ashamed? That she's got Cushing's disease?
Does she really have Cushing disease, though?
I swear to God, she came out and said she does. Yes.
Yeah, well, she said she does. Here's her foot. This is Nikki Glaser's foot. It's kind of small. Oh, I can't. Can I make this bigger? I don't know.
I can see it. I've seen it's enough.
Not
great.
Not good.
No.
Thoughts?
Two thumbs down. Don't like it. That was a gross foot. Yeah.
That was a gross foot.
And is I don't really bigger? Have high standards for feet, but that one was a bad one. And I think you get that when you wear, heels. And my grandma had those, the bunions, and she also had this action. Did your grandma have that? Where the second and third toes crossed over each other.
Oh.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, I think so. And that's just from jamming your feet in heels?
Yeah.
Because that looks like a heel foot right there.
Yeah, yeah. Those are nasty. Yeah, those are bad.
That's like the Chinese binding feet.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're sitting there with binded feet, putting lead in baby food. They're so smart. And then they bind their feet. I don't get it.
No comment. It's like, well, never mind.
I did see there was Bert Kreischer was there, Tampa's own Bert Kreischer. And I don't know, like, I don't understand why Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer are just like a package deal now. Like, they seem like they don't have, they're not independent of each other anymore. They did a kind of a cringy presentation that apparently didn't do too well.
They feed off each other's energy. I get why people want them as a package deal. I only saw the one presentation. Did they MC the whole night or
I just saw the cringy presentation that they did. Okay, really get any pops or anything. I heard Nikki did good. I heard who else? Kim Kardashian got booed really bad.
Oh, she had a really good joke about family members defending football players. I can't remember exactly how it went, but it was spicy. It was spicy. It was good. It was good.
Who else was there? I just watched some of the highlights. There were some good jokes. I wish we could play some of them, but I guess since we're on YouTube, you can't. See, that's a bad thing. If you're on radio, we could play these things no problem. We just got to edit out the beeps.
Yeah.
We have no issue. Yeah. But if we're commentating on it, why can't we use it? If we're talking about it.
Dude, I don't make the rules. I wish we could. It's just, you know, they're trying to preserve their intellectual property, I guess. I don't know.
One of the things that I saw was the take from like some, and it seemed like it was like Clay Travis. And I just kind of saw it scrolling through Twitter. I don't know if you know who Clay Travis is. And the, what's the dude? Jason Whitlock, who's now on The Blaze. More of that like right-leaning media is that this roast was really good for culture because it was very not PC and it was on Netflix, which is obviously, you know, has a political slant there, and they allowed it to happen. And maybe there is some sort of, maybe that was the first step in kind of combating that intellectual chokehold on media that side seems to have, because it's obviously doing very well on the internet. They're not really having a problem with all comedy just moved to the internet. It's not on Comedy Central on a network anymore. It's now just on the internet.
Yes. And everything is online now. So
yeah,
but good for Netflix. I'm surprised that they did that. Seemed very not Netflix of them, but whatever. I'm glad that it's here.
I'm glad it's here. It didn't happen. But, you know, as far as TV goes, like, I don't have Netflix. I don't have, the only thing I do have is Amazon Prime because it came with my shipping for Amazon, right? So I have access to Amazon Prime, which is good. But I watch it sometimes. It's good for, like, old movies. Like, we were watching a bunch of old, like, Braveheart, The Godfather. Like, all those are on Amazon. I don't really care about any new movies. So that's good to have for that. But I don't really watch stuff. And if I am watching stuff, it's online. and, you know, people that are like online that are just creating their own content. So I don't know. They might have missed the boat as far as getting people, you know, unless they start giving out shows to like Shane, which I think they did. Actually, did Netflix give a show to Shane Gillis?
There was a Netflix special. Yep. I watched it.
Was there a show? I thought he was doing a sketch comedy show.
I don't know of it. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I haven't heard of anything about that.
Beautiful Dogs. That's his special. That was on, Netflix buys Shane Gillis comedy series Tires to premiere in May. There we go. So Netflix is trying to get in because there's a lot of money to be made there, obviously. Yes. And I don't understand why at this point, why, you know, they have these monoliths now, like the Joe Rogan and his crew on this outpost that you know, Shane Gillis is definitely one of those guys now. Like, you could just, why not just make content and make your money off of it? Why are you giving Netflix a cut of your cash?
Right.
But I guess in the long run, it's because they have, you know, more money to pay for the production. So production will be better. You can do more.
And also just like a giant audience. You know, a lot of people have Netflix.
You have the giant audience, and subscribership to, you know, Netflix is going down and down and down. Meanwhile, you could have your, you know, a YouTube show where you have unlimited potential viewership there. But I guess, I don't know, like, I don't know what the monetization's like. It seems like if you want to make any money on YouTube, you got to have
the status thing.
You got to have a million subscribers.
I got a Netflix special. Like, there's status there. Even if the numbers are dropping, you know, so.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I'm sorry I missed it. Maybe I'll try to find a stream of it somewhere. Netflix should make it free on YouTube and just play it with ads or something. That would be nice. But anyway, Anna, thank you so much for your time. We'll see you. We'll be back live next Wednesday for a live stream. And of course, midnight. On Sundays here on YouTube. The replay will be up on YouTube and HMB Radio on podcasts. And look out for Anna Hummel's vids coming at some point in the near future.
Yep.
And we're going to get you set up with a phone call too, so you can take calls and do some content. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yes.
So have a great week. Goodbye, Anna, and goodbye, everybody else.
Bye.
That's it. That's the show. Thank you very much for Anna Hummel. My name's Will Kuntz. You can catch Anna on the beach, as they call it right now. She's currently out of a radio job, but I'm sure one will come along very soon. You catch me on the bone on occasion on Saturday mornings and sporadically at other times. Maybe some news about that coming soon. A little too early to tell right now. For Anna Hummel again, my name's Will Kuntz. Have a great weekend. Keep it locked here on Radio St. Pete. You got Frank Rivera's Jazz Show up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thanks. Tell a friend about it. Follow me on social, home_made_man. Have a good one. Later.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.